Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Our theme right now is awakening, awakening 2012. What if, and I just imagine this weekend, what if every person here watching online, every person at all of our campuses, at all of our services, just decided, I will be the best Jesus follower I can be in 2012. It's just my personal decision. I want to be the best Jesus follower, to be as close to Jesus as I can. Do you know you can be as close to God as you want to be? It's your want to. It's not His want to. He has the want to. It's your want to. What if we just decided, I want to be close to Jesus. I want to leave the decay and the craziness of sin, pride, press on to follow Jesus in my walk, in my day. What would our world look like? What would our families look like? What would our dream and our desire look like? What would our relationships look like if we just paid attention to the idea that I want to be close to Jesus. If we prayed the prayer, awaken us, O Lord, to be fully alive and experience the freedom that you have for us so I can live the life that you intended for me. What if we prayed that prayer? I'm believing that somebody's going to pray that prayer today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I thank you for every single person in this room. I believe you have something to say to every heart. And so, Lord, I just pray that our hearts would be caught up for a few minutes because they get caught up in a lot. They would be caught up in you. Lord, I pray that you would capture every heart in this room, others watching online, that our cell phone would not distract us. That something that we need to tend to, that sometimes is just idle busyness, would not steal this moment. That a voice from something else would not take away an opportunity that maybe you want to talk to us. That we would not have such attention disorder, even in a moment where your word could speak to us just for a few minutes. Let that happen today. We love you so much in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, awakening 2012. Look at the person next to you and say, are you awake? As I've gotten older and hopefully gotten kinder, I feel like I can just say what's on my heart quicker and more direct. You just don't have to beat around the bush as much. You figure out you don't have as much time left. Still got a lot of time, but you realize you need to say the things you need to say. You need to say it, you need to spray it, you need to deliver it. When you get it, here it goes. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the idea of zombie. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a zombie movie? Let me have a show of hands for all those who have seen a zombie movie. I want to get right to this. Have you ever seen a zombie movie? I know we introduced a little break time, little thriller in the house just to kind of get us pointed in that direction. Very popular subject these days is zombies. We have video games that are based around zombies. It's kind of very, very pop culture. We have movies and thoughts like, you know, Night of the Living Dead, Zombieland, The Walking Dead, sitcoms, series, websites. Matter of fact, there's even been issued by the CDC a zombie preparedness plan because they believe that maybe one day because of this or that, there could be this zombie attack in our neighborhoods where people get mindless and go into a trance and begin to steal and break in, take things from you. See, we see zombies all over the place today on television and in movies and on and on. Now, some of you are looking at me like, now, Pastor Dino, are you seriously thinking about zombies? I mean, did you wake me up, me come over here, sit here in this building for you to talk to me? I've given you my day off for you to talk to me about zombies. Are you serious about that? You really brought me here to do that? Yes, I did. Because I'm here to get the word out. And I want to issue a warning that there are zombies all around us. Matter of fact, all of us start out, and I want you to hear me, all of us start out as zombies. We are all born, but we are born the walking dead, alive to sin and the flesh. It's a biblical fact. I don't know if you know this. The Bible identifies you and I that we are alive, but we are dead to God. We are alive, but we are alive to sin. Really just the walking dead. I want to read you our death sentence here. I'll read you some scriptures out of Ephesians. I'll start Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and in sins in which you used to live. When you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time." Hear this, church. "Gratifying the craving of our sinful nature," or of our flesh, "and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love, the love of God for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved." Read you another scripture out of Romans, Romans chapter 6. I'll read you several scriptures. Verse 12, it says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal." It's a great word, talking about zombies, mortal. "Your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from the death to life," as those brought from death to life. It's a great thought. "And offer the parts of your body to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin," watch this, "for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Offer yourself to someone," I love that, "when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin, and you become slaves of righteousness." Love the scripture. Proverbs, two more scriptures. Proverbs 13:4, "The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied." Proverbs 27, verse 20, "Death and destruction are never satisfied, neither are the eyes of man." This describes us. The Bible describes us all. We all fit into this category, whether we believe it or not, whether we know it or not, whether we're walking in it. The Bible is truth. And the Bible speaks truth to us and describes that we are physically alive, but we are spiritually dead without Christ. When we do not have Jesus in our life, I'll make it real simple for you. We are spiritually dead. It's this picture of us staggering through life, eating till we are stuffed with sin and lust. We are disobedient. We crave more and more and more, but yet we still feel empty. We party, still feel alone. We party harder, still feel hollow. We give ourselves to people who give nothing to us back in return. We work for things that don't matter. We kill ourselves to make more money, to buy a bigger house, a cooler car, better clothes, but then to realize that this house is not big enough. This car is not fast enough. These clothes are not fine enough. We are zombies living in this world. We're caught up in the cycle of craving the flesh and the world and stuff. We're born into that, always consuming but never full. Flowing with the crowd, moving with the crowd, always moving with somebody and something and here, there, and everywhere, but still waking up numb even after we've moved with people. We're always pursuing, but guess what? We're not finding peace. We're physically alive, but we are spiritually dead. And you know what happens? With every new season of sin, we stink a little bit more, but we're never as bad as the next guy, so we're okay. Because we don't stink as bad as our brother or our neighbor. So we're okay. This idea of a zombie, what is the Bible talking about? That someone who is physically alive, but spiritually dead. I've thought about this. I see those traces in my own life. I think about my life before I surrendered it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I think about friends that I hung out with, people that I love. I think about those that I spend time with now and I talk to. I see the world that we're living in, and I see a world full of zombies. Just to be clear and kind of help us to understand what that means, to give you a visual, I've invited two of my zombie friends to stagger out here on stage so we can see firsthand what in the world is Pastor talking about. Let me introduce to you zombie number one. Now, zombie number one, this is when we think of a zombie, this is kind of what we think of. When we hear the word zombie, this is what we visually see. This is what we think about when we hear this term. Now, as zombie number one staggers out here, hopefully all of his limbs will stay intact. But as zombie staggers out here, notice in this zombie number one, the decaying effect. Notice his clothes are torn and his garments are spotted with the result of flesh eating. He normally is with others. He loves hanging out with a group. He loves being with the group, enlisting others to be a zombie, limping as a clan, looking to make their flow, their hunger, their group larger. Notice that his eyes are gazed over, just kind of gazed over, and they're glazed with this sense of no purpose. This zombie is a night dweller. If you get close to him, you'll smell the fragrance of death and doom. You can try to kill him. You can try to hurt him. You can hit him with a bat. You can come up here with a knife and stab him. Guess what? He just says, he just lives again. Why? Because those that crave the flesh are hard to kill. Physically alive, but spiritually dead. He's in a trance. He's medicated, wanting more, just staring at the next feast of consumption of what's in front of him. You can't negotiate with him. You can't talk him into something. You can't go halfway with him. You can't be a friend with him. I wouldn't friend him on Facebook. You may not live long. He's a zombie. He has no sense of appreciation. He has no sense of gratitude. He wants one thing. He wants flesh. More and more and more. And he is a scary individual. Gives me nauseation as I'm up here. David, good job. No David's problem. One of our guys. You good bet. Job. How are the kids?
Great.
Wife's well?
You bet.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks for
Thank
being
you.
Here.
Appreciate it.
Go take care of our nursery. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Helping me out a little bit. Zombie number one. Okay, let me introduce to you zombie number two. Now, zombie number two, this is zombie number one. We see that. But zombie number two, we may connect with a little bit better. Notice zombie number two. Notice her decaying effect of wants and desire. Notice her hipster clothes, her fun and sassy garments. Once a must purchase, but now they're fading to the next season of glam and fab. Always grouping together, looking for someone else so that there can be more. She's always looking for the mutants of more to go places, to hang out, to spend the night together. Let's go bigger. Let's go brighter. Who's hot? Who's not?
Here we go, Izzy.
She's always marching. Just a blank stare to another date. Just another person who can fill my cup up of me, myself, and I. Just marching to the playlist of a little Biggie Smalls, Puff Daddy, mo money, working a little money, or even working to a little Agua, little I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. It's texting, it's sexing, it's buying, it's getting, it's faster, stronger, the latest, the greatest, the biggest, the brightest, and the best. But it's all still decaying. Let's listen in to her world.
Stop it. I have to take this one, okay? Hold on. Yeah, hey, Kate, Yeah, yeah. So the charity ball starts at 6, has to be done by 4:45. No questions asked. It's my image here. Get it done. Yeah, how's that seating? Izzy, shh. How's that seating chart coming? Yeah. Yeah, the Kardashians want what? Yeah, not doing a plus 7. Not. Hold on. My Izzy just came out. Izzy, psst, Izzy. Come see. Come see. Come see. Izzy's, she's having a rough one. Yeah, so about the Kardashians, back to business. Yeah, can't do a plus 7. They cannot invite the entire Knicks basketball team. Not happening. There's no room. Put them at the table with the new shoe designer. They'll have a lot to talk about. Awesome, great, gotta go, bye. Izzy, it's tough being us, huh? So tough. Back to our schedule. Okay, so we've got massage and nails in an hour. We're good. Then we've got a meeting at 4:30. Then we have a new client meeting at 5:30, and then dinner with Mark at 7. If he's late, Izzy, we're out. It's always about him. Why does he think that our time's not valuable? Oh, come on. You want Starbucks? You love Starbucks, but not after that little thing you just pulled. We're going to have to pull that. What's with your collar, Izzy?
Hey, good job, zombie number two. Emily, did a great job. How's your marriage?
Great. Wonderful.
How's Shane?
He's wonderful.
Had a good honeymoon?
Great honeymoon.
Love God?
Love God a lot.
Okay, go take care of the worship team. God bless you. Come on, let's clap our hands for zombie number two. So we see zombie number one, and then we see zombie number two. Zombie number one we don't connect with, because that's not us. But I wonder if we were to scrape off the veneer of our image and our persona, what would we look like? Now we see zombie number two, then hey, it kind of connects a little bit more at home about what we're about and what we're pursuing. See, church, the truth is there's only one way to deal with the zombie in us all. The zombie's got to die. It's just one way. Let me read you a truth about how to tend to and how to take care of and how to deal with that zombie in all of us. It's in Romans chapter 8. It's verse 12 through 15. This is what Scripture tells us. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature or to live according to it. For if you live according to sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, then you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you have received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The only way to save us from being a zombie is the grace of Jesus Christ. Scripture says, you and I are bent. We're bent. And when we're left alone, we will pursue the flesh, the world, craziness, the sin, the craving of this world. But you don't have to die that way. You don't have to be a slave to that. You don't have to be controlled by what other people are controlled by. You don't have to head down the path of the path that your friend is headed down. You don't have to go down the same path that your dad may went down. You don't have to go down the same path that everybody else goes down. You can pursue the power of God to break the power of the zombie over all of our life. So it boils down to the question for 2012 is this. What will it be for this year? What will you seek? Will it be Zombieland 2012, just another time of the Walking Dead? Or will it be awakening to grace and truth for 2012? You say, well, Dean, I don't want to head in that direction. I just don't want to march off as another zombie. I just don't want to live that way in the decay and the doom of sin and this world and the sinful nature. I want to rise above that. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be his child. I want to be his son. I want to be his daughter. I want to live for him on the campus. I want to live for him there in my home. I want to be what God wants me to be as a mother and as a, how do you do that? You know, I've got some resources, some tools that I believe can help us as it relates to being what God wants us to be. How do we break the zombie over our life? Here's the first thing that I believe can take place in our life that's so important is when we begin to feast on the Word of God. The Word of God. Read your Bible. Bible, 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 Bible. Scripture, 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 scripture. Can't live for God if you never feast on his word. It's just impossible. It's just so hard to try to live for God when you don't have the word of God. Wow, here's what happens. See, the word of God helps you renew your mind. So that's what Romans 12 tells us, that the word of God helps us to renew our mind. And guess what? While we're renewing our mind, then we can take on the nature of Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting to me that the ultimate feast for the zombie is not flesh. The real delicacy for the zombie is eating someone's brains. That's exactly what the flesh wants to do, wants to control your mind. Wow, that's where the battlefield is. It's the battlefield of the mind of defeat, the mind of compromise, the mind of the past. I'm praying that you go from mindless living in 2012 to putting on the mind and nature of Jesus Christ. I love what Isaiah 55:9 says. It says, as heavens are higher than the earth, this is what God says, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts more than your thoughts. Reading your Bible, renewing the mind out of the word of God. Why? Because the Bible will give you conviction to know right from wrong. We live in a world that has so muddied right from wrong. And if it feels good and if it's okay and if it doesn't hurt anybody, then it's fine. Did you know that might as well be a road to hell? It is paved with the good intention of whatever you feel. Determine it yourself. It doesn't matter. There's no absolute truth. That goes totally counter, just against everything that God speaks. The word of God helps you and I to understand the nature and character of Jesus that we need in our marriage. How we help other people. How we speak the truth in love. How we encourage. It's the conviction of God. We need the, you know what? I need the conviction of the Holy Spirit to live in this crazy world today. If not, I feel like sometimes I'm just marching to the beat of somebody else's drum. Who's playing the drum? Who came up with the beat? Why do I have to go in that direction? I want to follow God. Can I tell you this? You put two dogs in your backyard. You feed one, you don't feed the other. Let them fight. Find out which one wins. The one you feed is the one that's always going to win. Can I tell you this? We're feeding the wrong dog. And we'll wonder why we're losing the battle in our marriage. We're wondering why with our children. We're wondering with our private life, our motives, things that are on the inside that we can't control. We're not feeding the spirit. We are feeding the flesh. The word, can I encourage you? The greatest resource you have is the word of God. Get it on your phone. Have it with you. It helps you deal with the zombie that wants to rise up. Take control of your life. I'll tell you something else I think is so important. This is a great resource that Stovall Weems put together, which really connects with what I think is so important, and that's fasting and praying. It's a book called Awakening. I'll just use this as a resource. Awakening, a new approach to faith, fasting, and spiritual freedom. 21 days to revolutionize your relationship with God. Fasting and praying does wonders for your spirit. It's a great resource that Stovall put together. I wrote this about fasting. Fasting kills the consumption of the flesh. Why? Starve the flesh, feed your spirit. Starve the flesh, feed your spirit. In 2012, Lord, help me to feed my spirit, to feed the right dog, so that when the battles come and the storm, and how many knows the battles are going to come? Come on, somebody. How many knows a storm is a brewing? And so when the storms roll in, I have something to stand on. When the temptation hits me, I have something to stand on. When I get lured and pulled away to go march with everybody else, why am I marching? I don't know, but everybody else is, you know, they just gather together in groups. When one zombie moves, the other one gets up off the ground and starts moving also. They're all followers, 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 followers. Let me tell you something. You feed your spirit and you starve your flesh. You'll quit following, and guess what you'll do? You'll start leading. You'll start leading into life, blessings, truth. A couple other things that I believe are so important. And this right here represents worship. It's one of our own worship leaders here, Doug Musso. We are the call. I believe one of the greatest things that could come against the stupor that is on so many people in their life, daily getting up, going to work, going home, getting up, going to work, going home, rah, 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 rah. Day in and day out, playing videos. hours playing video game. Hello? Worship. Worship. Worship God. I want to worship God more in 2012. You know what worship does? To me, worship opens up my eyes from the scales of defeat and me-ism. It opens up my eyes to see God and to see others when I spend time in worship to God, singing, praying, spending time with God, worshiping God. Something else that I think is so important that I believe helps us survive the zombie attack is a good prayer journal. Now, a lot of you journal. Maybe you've stopped or you don't. I think it's something important. This is kind of a little moleskin skin when we put our logo on it just to make a connection for spiritual family. Here's what I think is amazing. You begin to read your Bible. And here's the thing. We've provided a Bible plan and a Bible strategy. When I first came to Christ, I started reading my Bible, but I'm reading in like Lamentations. Clueless. But then someone said, let me give you a Bible plan. And I began to read the New Testament. I don't know where I'd be today if it wasn't for that foundation of Scripture. And then I remember my sister told me, she said, you ought to spend some time writing down what you're getting. See, I believe a prayer journal or some way, sometimes I actually have a journal on my phone now. It helps you walk in the light of God's fresh lessons and learning. I think it helps you to connect with the fresh leading of God in your life. And it helps you to attach more and I think get deeper into God's promises when you read it and you just write a thought down. I think it helps open up your spirit, get you out of the darkness and get you into the light. Too often we are living in the darkness. We are living in secret. I think that's important. Another thing we did, and we're going to, matter of fact, we actually put all this together. It's kind of fun as the zombie survival kit. So these are available in our cafe, but really it's the resources. But we bundled all these together. If you need them, I believe they can resource your life. And here's what we put together. You got to love this. The zombie outbreak response team. Why is this important? Because you got to know who's a zombie and who ain't one. How many knows every zombie movie, there's always like this stealth, plant in there. There's like a mole in the meat. They're all talking and you're talking about your strategy and your plan. It's a zombie. But they haven't revealed themselves yet. You're like, yo, man, you my man. Oh, I'm your man. All right. Dude, this is going to be great. Oh, it's going to be real good. And like you turn around, next thing you know, they're biting you in, on the back. They're biting you in the neck. It's like, my boy, what's going on? I was like, ah! You got to know who's in your, you got to know who's with you. Can I tell you this? If you're dating a zombie, get ready to be their feast. Come on, somebody. Don't friend them zombies on Facebook. Back up. Back to train up. Be careful. Be careful who you do life with, who you walk your journey out with. I don't think I would be here today if it wasn't for accountability with godly people when I came to know Jesus Christ at 18 years old. I would have never made it. I was a zombie. I was marching to the beat of a horrible rhythm. Just a rhythm of me, myself, and I. What's up, what's up, what's up? Thank God people came into my life who were not zombies. They used to be. But God. They were able to help me speak into my life. Talk to me about God. Not drag me in the wrong direction. Not laugh at me because I wanted to read my Bible. Not give me a hard time because I wanted to go to church. But encouraged me. They didn't devour me. They encouraged me. You got to know who's with you in these days that we live in. Zombie. So why do we do that? Because guess what? I believe that the zombie outbreak is rising. Guess what? You got to know how to help somebody. You got to know how to be able to tell somebody about grace, mercy, be full of God so you can help somebody who's what? Who's dying. Or they may be alive, but guess what? They're the walking dead. You and I both know them. I once was one. God doesn't want that for our life. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.